Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the latest shakeup in the White House with the Chief of Staff, Reince Priebus, unceremoniously fired to be replaced by General John Kelly, the head of Homeland Security. Chris Whipple, a writer, documentary filmmaker, journalist, and the author of The Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency, joins us to discuss the challenges facing the four-star Marine general in trying to restore regular order to a White House without a chain of command, with competing power centers and various aides enjoying walk-in privileges into the Oval Office. We will look into whether a mercurial president who enjoys humiliating subordinates and is incapable of taking responsibility for anything, particularly if things go wrong, can be weaned away from his power-hungry delusions that he and his families are America's rulers and learn to govern. Then we'll look into the new White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, who might be part of a wider power shuffle in which the embattled Attorney General Jeff Sessions is moved to Homeland Security so that Trump can put someone in at DOJ who will fire the special counsel to end the Russia probe. Michael Cohen, a former State Department chief speechwriter for the United States, representative to the United Nations, who was a columnist for the Boston Globe, where he wrote an article back in April, Homeland Security's John Kelly is unhinged, joins us to discuss Trump's new chief of staff and whether he can rein in his boss, who more and more observers are suggesting is unhinged. Then finally, we'll go to Caracas, Venezuela, to speak with veteran Latin American journalist with the BBC and The Guardian, Phil Gunson, now the Andes Project senior analyst with the International Crisis Group. He joins us to discuss today's vote that the opposition are boycotting in the for a constitutional a constituent assembly that will end democratic representation in Venezuela, leading to the possible arrest of elected legislators and the installation of a Cuba-style government led by President Maduro, who is supported by less than 20% of his countrymen. And joining us now is Chris Whipple, who is a writer, documentary filmmaker, and journalist. He's the author of the New York Times bestselling book, The Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency, the first in-depth behind-the-scenes look at the men who have been the president's closest advisors from interviews with all 17 living chiefs and two former presidents, whose members have included Rahm Emanuel, Dick Cheney, Leon Panetta, and Don Rumsfeld, a multiple Peabody and Emmy Award-winning producer at CBS's 60 Minutes and ABC News's Primetime. Chris Whipple is the writer and executive producer of The Spymasters, CIA in the Crosshairs, airing on Showtime. Welcome to Background Briefing, Chris Whipple.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And let's start with the suggestion that some are floating that the getting rid of Reince Priebus and bringing in General Kelly might be part of a wider power shuffle in which the embattled Attorney General Jeff Sessions can somehow be moved to Homeland Security so that Trump can appoint someone at DOJ to fire Robert Mueller, the special counsel. Do you give that any credence?
Not really. You know, that strikes me as too clever by half, perhaps, for this White House and this president. What I do know is that none of that will matter. Nothing really will matter unless he can get the White House right. And I think this is a, this so-called reset, is a chance, but a really slim chance of somehow righting this completely dysfunctional presidency, which really is unprecedented in its chaos and its inability to do anything right.
So from having studied all the most recent chiefs of staff and written about it, Chris Whipple, in your new book, The Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency, just explain briefly to the audience the role of the chief of staff, or at least how it should function, where he is the right hand of the president and controls the flow of both paperwork and people in and out of the Oval Office and creates the kind of system that makes the trains run on time.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to overstate the importance of the position. The White House Chief of Staff is not only the president's gatekeeper who creates time and space for the president to think, but he's the person who controls the information flow. He's the honest broker of information, making sure that every decision has information teed up on every side of the issue. He is the person who controls communications, making sure that everybody's on the same page. He's the person who's in charge of speech writing. He's the person who's in charge of executing the president's agenda. And maybe most important of all, he is the one person who can walk into the Oval Office, close the door behind him, and tell the president what he doesn't want to hear. Two of the best at that were James A. Baker III under Ronald Reagan, Leon Panetta under Bill Clinton. Those were guys who knew how to do that. Sadly, Reince Priebus and frankly, too many people in the West Wing at the moment are sycophants and enablers of Donald Trump's worst instincts. And that's one of the reasons we are where we are.
Well, it's difficult to shed too many tears for Reince Priebus if you recall the round robin around the cabinet table recently, where it's known as the dear leader or the great leader moment, where Donald Trump literally forced all of his cabinet members to praise him. And the most unctuous of all of them, I think, was Reince Priebus, who said how blessed he was to be working for the great man. The only person, by the way, in that entire cabinet that didn't didn't display that sort of grotesque fealty and sycophancy was General Mattis. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty sorry bunch of people. But do you think though that that Kelly? I mean, everybody keeps thinking we've got some adults in the room there. Mattis, but he's already just taken a vacation. So is Tillerson. The other guy, McMaster. Rumors are that Trump doesn't even speak to him anymore and doesn't listen to him anymore in particular. So let's talk about that. Is that a delusion, the idea that there are adults in the room in this White House?
Well, it may well be. Let me just say one thing about generals and the notion that somehow we can maybe rest easier because the generals will bring order to chaos. Certainly hasn't happened yet. And even with Kelly, I think that the odds are very long, really stacked against him. Because just to step back for a second, generals don't have a great track record as White House chiefs. The only modern chief who was a general was Al Haig, who lasted a couple of days, more than a month, under Gerry Ford. Gerry Ford, by the way, thought he could run the White House much the way Donald Trump likes to, or with a similar model. Ford had people coming and going, senior aides, all with equal access. Nobody empowered as first among equals. He called it the spokes of the wheel, with Ford, the president, at the center. Well, it was a disaster. And within a month, he was begging Don Rumsfeld to come in and take charge as an empowered chief, which is what happened. But I think, so with Kelly, the real challenge is, the definition of insanity would be for John Kelly to think that he can run the White House with the same mandate, the same authority that Reince Priebus had. We saw what happened. It's been a six-month disaster, nothing accomplished. And that will be the case unless Kelly can be clearly first among equals. That means everybody reports through him to Donald Trump. Scaramucci cannot be reporting directly to Trump. Scaramucci, the colorful, shall we say, communications director. And quite frankly, I think that Kelly has got to demand that if Donald Trump wants to tweet, that Kelly had better have a look at those tweets before they go out. So how likely do we think Kelly is to get that kind of authority? Pretty unlikely, but he needs it.
And again, I'm speaking with Chris Whipple, who's a writer, documentary filmmaker, and journalist. He's the author of the New York Times bestselling book, The Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency. Well, that would mean that Kelly's going to have to sleep on the couch in the East Wing, doesn't it? Because exactly. Trump tweets at like 4 and 5 in the morning.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, look, I mean, the history of, never before in the history of the presidency has a president been able to just send irrational thoughts out into the world unchecked. I mean, there's a reason why presidents have White House staffs and communications directors and chiefs of staff. You can't run away. I mean, we saw just how effective his ban on transgender military personnel turned out to be when he tried to announce it by tweet. It's just a recipe for chaos and disaster. And God help us if we actually get into a real crisis, which we've been spared so far.
Well, even New York Post, a Murdoch paper, and Murdoch is apparently one of the people that talks to Trump almost every day and tries to advise him. And, of course, he's created this kind of media bubble in which Trump's supporters inhabit. And while, for example, outrageous display in front of the police in Suffolk County a couple of days ago, where Trump called upon the police to rough up suspects and, basically encouraging police brutality, while most people were shocked by that, including police professionals, the bubble, the people inside the Fox Breitbart bubble, probably thought that was great. But the one little departure that seems to be happening there with Murdoch's devotion to Trump is the cover of the New York Post that showed a picture of the reality show Survivor with all of the various characters. And if you go back through the more recent Trump experience in the campaign, it was a reality show. He kicked everybody off the island, and then he was the last man standing. And that seems to be the way that he operates the White House. And apparently he was angry at Priebus for being so supine in the face of these outrageous, vulgar diatribe from Scaramucci, who humiliated him in public in the most disgusting way. And Trump apparently was angry that Priebus didn't fight back. And it's just like he was producing a reality show, not running the United States.
Well, that's the troubling thing about all of this. Among a lot of troubling things. But the notion that Donald Trump is maybe less interested in governing than he is in creating chaos and a reality show and to be a disruptor. He's a great disruptor. He's shown clearly in the last 6 months that he has no idea how to govern. And therefore, if you have an outsider president with no idea what he's doing, then he needs an empowered chief of staff more than ever. I mean, more than any of his predecessors, Donald Trump, of all people, needs to have a chief of staff who is first among equals to execute his agenda and tell him what he doesn't want to hear. How likely is that to happen? Maybe not very likely, but it's the most critical thing at this point.
So, do you think then is there anybody out there? I mean, especially the daughter's supposed to have influence. Well, that did a lot of good over climate change. Jared's supposed to have influence, but he seems like a total lightweight. and whose excuse for having all the great portfolios with more responsibility than anybody on the planet, just about, his excuse to the Senate Intelligence Committee was about that meeting that they took with these Russian spies offering dirt on Hillary, that, that basically he was inexperienced. And that's the excuse. The guy with the most responsibility, apart from the president, is inexperienced. So I don't see anybody around there, and so we're all counting on this four-star Marine General.
So, trying to be constructive here. It's not the first time that we've seen a White House riven by ideological divisions and competing power centers and family getting involved. The Reagan White House was, you know, when Ronald Reagan called Howard Baker to try to get him to, who after Don Regan was fired for hanging up on Nancy Reagan, you may recall. Mm-hmm. When Ronald Reagan called up Howard Baker to ask him to take the job, he got Baker's wife, who said he was at the zoo. And Reagan said, well, wait till he sees the zoo that I've got for him. It was a pretty wild ride, the Reagan White House. And you had Nancy Reagan, and you had Mike Deaver, and you had the so-called true believers, the people who wanted Reagan to be Reagan, against the pragmatists led by James Baker. In that case, Baker was so savvy and such a shrewd operator, he was able to put it together. He was able to form alliances with Nancy Reagan, with Mike Deaver, who was like family to the Reagans, and he was able to prevail. And really, without Jim Baker, there would have been no Reagan Revolution. So has it been done? Yeah. How many Jim Bakers are there around? How many Leon Panettas are there? You know, Kelly's got a chance, but I'm afraid he's no Jim Baker.
Well, he supposedly, though, people say he's a general without little experience, particularly with Congress. My understanding was that he worked for both Secretary of Defense in the Bush
Gates
White House.
Panetta.
And also for Panetta, for both right. Gates and Panetta. And in that role, he was a liaison to the Congress. So, a lot of people, at least that work with him in those capacities, say he's really a great guy. Of course, our next guest wrote a piece saying that he's unhinged. So, why don't you try and defend the guy?
Listen, I would strongly suggest that if he hasn't done it already, Kelly should pick up the phone and call Jim Baker. The first thing Baker will tell him is, congratulations, you've got the worst blanking job in Washington. But then he'll go on to give him constructive advice. I would say call Ken Duberstein, who came in and picked up the pieces after Iran-Contra and helped Reagan successfully finish his second term. I'd say call Panetta. He's worked with Panetta. I think what all of them will tell him is that unless he is empowered by Donald Trump to be first among equals, and unless everybody reports through him to Trump, that this is mission impossible.
Well, Chris Whipple, I thank you very much for joining us, and I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Chris Whipple, who's a writer, documentary filmmaker, and journalist. He's the author of the New York Times bestselling book, The Gatekeepers, How the White House Chiefs of Staff Define Every Presidency, the first in-depth, behind-the-scenes look at the men who have been the president's close advisors, from interviews with all 17 living chiefs and two former presidents, whose members have included Rahm Emanuel, Dick Cheney, Leon Panetta, and Donald Rumsfeld, a multiple Peabody and Emmy Award-winning producer at CBS News' 60 Minutes and ABC News' Primetime. Chris Whipple is the writer and executive producer of The Spy Masters, CIA in the Crosshairs, airing on Showtime. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking with the columnist for the Boston Globe, who wrote the article back in April, Homeland Security's John Kelly is Unhinged.